Let's pray as we come to God's word together. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to look at your word together, you'll open our hearts to receive what you have to say to us and teach us new things about your love for us. Amen. We've got a lot of talk at the moment of fake news, seems to be the big thing that comes out of the White House. But how do you know what's fake news or what's real news? How do you test what's true? Do you look at pictures? Do you go for eyewitnesses? Do you go and see for yourself? How do you test what's real? And similarly, how do you assess a person? Maybe somebody you've heard of, a celebrity who's in the news, somebody you look up to. How do you find out what they are really like? You can form an opinion based on your own experience. You can hear what others say about them. You can listen to what is reported about them. And somehow you have to make up your own judgment. But then what happens if that judgment turns out to be wrong? What happens when somebody you looked up to turns out to be completely unreliable or untrustworthy? Someone you trusted lets you down. Someone you love hurts you. You're left asking, aren't you? Did I really know that person? Did I really know them? And in this evening's passage, John is asking, who is Jesus? Did I really know him? Have I got the right impression of him? And then Jesus is asking the crowds, who is John? Did you know who he was? Did you get the right impression of him? And through that, he challenges us by asking us, do you know me? Who am I? And we'll pick up the answers to those as we go through the passage. So do please turn with me to Luke chapter 7, page 1040 in the Bibles. And we see the background to this passage in the few verses preceding it, verses 11 to 17, when Jesus went to a town called Nain. He met a funeral procession there. They were carrying out a dead boy, and a dead man, and Jesus raises him to life. Verse 16, fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. Jesus is getting noticed. He's getting famous. People are absolutely amazed at what he's doing. And word gets back to John the Baptist. John the Baptist has been put into prison because he'd been speaking out against Herod's marriage. So he can't go and see Jesus for himself. But he's hearing these stories. And he sends his disciples to ask Jesus who he really is. You see, John had his preconceptions about Jesus. He thought he knew what Jesus should be doing if he were really the Messiah. Because John had prophesied about Jesus in Luke chapter 3, saying, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. It's a picture of judgment. In John's view, Jesus is coming to judge, to condemn the wicked, and to save the righteous. But he isn't seeing any of that at the moment. Is this really the Messiah John is expecting? Where is the judgment? Jesus is doing amazing things, but is this the person I thought he was? And we sometimes ask the same questions, don't we? Doubts creep in. Doubts race in when life is tough. John was in prison. Life was tough. He was probably expecting Jesus to depose Herod, to take over the throne of Israel, and to free John. But it wasn't happening. There wasn't any sign of it. And when we ask God for help and it doesn't come, we can start asking, is Jesus really the Messiah? Is God really there? When will he do something? So John's disciples come to Jesus and ask, verse 20, are you the one who was to come, or should we look for another? Did John get it wrong at your baptism? Did he mishear God? Or are you really the Messiah? Verse 21, Jesus doesn't reply as people expected. In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. Go and tell John what you have seen, says Jesus. And in doing so, he quotes from Isaiah 29. And he says, I'm fulfilling the prophecies. I am doing what the Messiah, what the promised one, was foretold. I am coming to restore. I come to restore and renew before I judge. The fulfillment too of Isaiah 61, which are the words that Jesus quoted in Luke chapter 4 at the start of his ministry, his manifesto, if you like. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. And when Jesus takes that prophecy for himself in Luke chapter 4, he leaves out that last phrase. He leaves out the words, the day of vengeance of our God, because that is still to come. He comes first to heal and restore. And he says to John, as he's saying, says to us, see the evidence. I am fulfilling the prophecies. I am the one that Isaiah spoke about. But judgment is not quite yet. First comes healing, restoration, and renewal. But he is expecting people to reject him. Verse 23, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. People will be offended by Jesus. People will reject him. People will see his message as unpalatable. And we see that often today, don't we? As people hear what Jesus says or mishear what he says. They judge him and they reject him. But Jesus says, I come first to heal and restore and renew. And in Luke chapter 13, he says, my message is to call you to repentance. Repent and believe. For unless you repent, he says, you will perish. But if you repent, there is hope. He brings hope before judgment, refuge before doom, good news before death and destruction. John expected judgment to come immediately, but Jesus offers a different way. He offers us grace freely given. He offers salvation for repentant sinners so that we have confidence when judgment comes. And judgment will come because of his final act of judgment on the cross, when the devil was condemned and he came out victorious over sin and death. That tells us that he brings us good news of hope and refuge, but also that the judgment will indeed certainly come. And so he says, the poor have good news preached to them. Because this is good news to the poor, isn't it? It's good news to those who have no claim on God. It's good news to those who have no pretense to be righteous. It's good news to all of us. Because God's grace, freely given, gives us that refuge when judgment comes. So Jesus says, I am the promised Messiah. Just look at what I'm doing. But don't be offended. Don't reject me. Because judgment is coming. And Jesus told John's disciples to take that message back to him. He wasn't wrong. He wasn't mistaken. Jesus was who he expected. It's just that his message was slightly different. So the reminder for us is that when we're struggling with the stuff life throws at us, when we ask Jesus for help and our prayers don't seem to be answered, well, they're not answered in the way we expect or we want, we can look at John and see that he had the same struggles. His prayers weren't being answered in the way he expected. But Jesus' reply to us is the same as it was to John. Look at me, see what I'm doing, and believe. Yes, judgment is coming, but I am providing the safe refuge, the salvation, the hope for when judgment does come. And then Jesus turns to the crowds and says, who was John? If I'm the Messiah, if I'm fulfilling these prophecies, then who was John? He must have been somebody a bit special because you went out into the desert to see him. Crowds and crowds of people went out to hear him preach, but why? Verse 24. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Surely not. Plenty of reeds blowing in the ditches and the dikes, much closer than the Jordan. What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Surely not. John wore camel's hair. And if you wanted to see a man dressed looking posh, well, you go to the king's court. You wouldn't go out into the desert. What did you go out to see? A tourist attraction? An oddity? No, clearly you went out to see something special. So who did you go out to see? Verse 26, Jesus tells them, yes, a prophet. Oh, and more than a prophet, not just any prophet. Come on, guys. Who did you go to see? A prophet. A prophet. Somebody who spoke God's word to the people. And somebody who was really special. There hadn't been a prophet in Israel for 400 years. Here was somebody speaking God's word authentically. But Jesus stresses this point, that he is a very special prophet. This is he of whom it is written, verse 27, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." John is a prophet, the greatest prophet. The prophet everyone expected to come as the forerunner of the Messiah. Malachi chapter 3 says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap." John is the prophet who will be the forerunner of the Messiah, but the Messiah will come in judgment. So John was not only this forerunner, but this forerunner of the Messiah was the greatest prophet there had ever been. Among those born of women, none is greater than John. He's the greatest person that's ever lived. But he's the one who points the way to Jesus. He points the way to the kingdom of God. And he cannot possibly have foreseen the changes which Jesus brought. Because the kingdom of God is radically new. It's a step change from what's gone before. John preached repentance, but in the old order. The old order of temple and sacrifices, which were offered as signs of repentance and forgiveness. But Jesus preaches salvation and entry into the kingdom of God by faith in him and him alone. That's the step change. However great John was, and he was the greatest, but however great he was, anyone, however insignificant they think they are, anyone who believes in me, says Jesus, and comes into my kingdom is greater than John. Because we know, don't we, from John's gospel, that to come into the kingdom, we're born of the Spirit. John was born of woman, and among those born of woman, none is greater than John. But anyone born of the Spirit comes into the kingdom of God as a step change in the new covenant. So Jesus says, "I am the Messiah. I'm the one who comes to judge, the one that John rightly foretold. But before I come to judge, I provide this refuge. I provide this safe haven. I provide protection from that judgment for those who believe in me. This is the new thing that I'm doing. This is the kingdom of heaven." John was the greatest who had lived up till then, but the kingdom of heaven is so radically new that anyone born of the Spirit through faith in Christ is greater than John. And then Jesus turns to the crowd as he turns to us with his challenge. Verse 29, when all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. So we see the reaction of the crowd, don't we? The ordinary people and the tax collectors. Everyone, including the worst sinners, including society's outcasts, could see God's grace at work through John and came to repentance. And now they know that they were right to listen to him, because through his ministry, they come to Jesus. But on the other side, we see the Pharisees sitting in the corner, sulking because they'd rejected John's message, and so they rejected Jesus' message. They are the ones who are offended by Jesus. It's on them that judgment will come. And we have this little picture, don't we, at the end of the passage. To what shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? They're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge, and you didn't weep. John came, eating no bread and drinking no wine. Oh, he's got a demon. He's ascetic. He's strange. He's really weird, isn't he? And then Jesus comes, eating and drinking, and you say, look at him. He's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. They can't be satisfied because they're too full of their own preconceptions about what God is and what he does. And we hear it today, don't we? If we say Jesus is the only way to God, we're being too exclusive. If we say all you have to do is believe in Jesus, people say, well, that's too easy. They don't have to do anything else. If we say the Bible is God's word, we're fuddy-duddy and out of date. If we tell people they need to repent, they say, what is sin anyway? What's wrong? I can do what I like. Jesus stands and says, believe in me and enter my kingdom before the judgment comes. And God's wisdom, verse 35, is revealed in those who respond to him in his way. Everyone is a candidate for the kingdom of God because Jesus offers his salvation to all. He offers us refuge in advance of the coming judgment because the prophecies say that the Messiah will come to judge. So the final challenge to each one of us isn't, are you sitting back on the sidelines in the marketplace and refusing to play? Or have you joyfully accepted Jesus' offer of a place in his kingdom? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sometimes get the wrong view of Jesus. Sometimes we doubt him because we don't see him answering our prayers in the way we expect. Sometimes we wonder why judgment hasn't yet come. But we thank you that Jesus provides us with that refuge, that safe haven, because he comes to heal and restore and renew, to bring us into his kingdom before the day of judgment. And so we pray that we might know his security in our lives as we look forward to the day when he returns. Amen.